I want to invite your attention to Romans chapter 1. And I ask you to pray for me that I might be able to speak that which is true to the Word of God, that which would be profitable to your souls. And pray for yourselves that God might give you indeed a hearing ear. Especially you young folks, I want you to listen to this. We older ones, this pretty soon I'm going to lay aside this tabernacle and others with me along here. And you'll be the older ones. Now listen to these words carefully. I want to talk to you about evangelism. I went to Arkansas a few weeks ago and preached down there on Saturday and Sunday. And young man here in town, a religious fellow, he knew about it. And he asked me the other day when he saw me, he said, did you all have a good revival down there? I said, what is a good revival? I said, I've never seen one in my life. I said, I know your church every year they advertise spring revival and fall revival, but what do you mean by that? Is it something you're assured of? Something that people are going to do for themselves? How you know God's going to give it? If it comes from God, how you know God's going to give it? And we had a lengthy talk. And like most fellows in his group, he agreed with everything I said. But still goes back and listens to that free will stuff, all the means and gimmicks and gospel tricks to get folks into the church. It's so sad. I want to talk to you about evangelism. You hear that word a lot. Some evangelist is in town. Or you hear somebody, some church is having an evangelistic meeting. That's what I'm going to consider this morning. Evangelism. True evangelism. Biblical evangelism. What in the world is it? What in the world is it? Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel of God. Drop down to verse 3. That remainder, that what's in between is in parenthesis. Drop down to verse 3. Separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's the good news. It's the gospel concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now listen, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And all of this in verse 2 is according to his promises made by the prophets in the Old Testament scriptures. Now look at verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach that gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, that righteousness which he has provided for us in his Son, whereby we may be justified, reconciled, accepted of God. Righteous, righteous, righteous. It's a gospel of righteousness which he has prepared in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is evangelism? we're continually hearing about, as I said, some meeting, evangelistic meeting, or some evangelist has come to town, and I've even sent out advertisements when some preacher was coming, evangelist, Brother Mahan, or someone else, Jack Shanks, or whatever. What is evangelism? What I mean by that, evangelism, evangelist. Well, evangel, simply means good news. And to us, it's the gospel. According to the scriptures, it's the gospel. That's the good news. We just read about it. It's the gospel of God concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 John chapter 5, this is a record that God has given us life, and this life is in His Son. It's the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that's wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Evangelism, evangel is the gospel, and evangelism is the preaching of that gospel. Those who preach that gospel are evangelists. They preach it, they proclaim it, they teach it, they declare it, they tell it forth. They're evangelists. They preach out the gospel, tell out the gospel concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to listen to me carefully now, real carefully. It is with very sad heart that I want to show you that the great majority of those modern so-called evangelists, it's a misnomer. They falsely name themselves, falsely call themselves. They don't preach the gospel. They don't even know the gospel. They don't know God. They're not sent from God. They don't have a message from God. They've created their own message. In our day, that's the general principle. The way it is, generally speaking, throughout America today, modern evangelists do not even know the gospel of God. They call themselves gospel preachers and don't even know what the gospel is. I'm telling you the truth. Check it out. Find it out for the sake of your own souls and for the glory of God. The gospel is the gospel of God's grace, sovereign free grace, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you deny the gospel of sovereign free grace, you've denied the only gospel there is. That's the only one there is. They're not sent from God. They do not love the message of God, the gospel of God. And they are not the ambassadors of Jesus Christ because they don't have His message. Their whole system, now listen to me, their whole system is one of human wisdom and human invention. It's not according to the Scriptures. Not by precept, nor by example. It's not according to the Scriptures. Their whole system is one of human wisdom and invention. It's man's religious methods and means, man's gospel tricks and gimmicks, and all is in the power of man, all created by man. It's all of the world. It's all of Satan. That's what it is. I'm sorry about that. I have family in those churches, but that's what it is nonetheless. You sure can't help anybody by pretending there's no difference, or the difference doesn't make any difference. This system, modern, so-called evangelistic system, has turned preachers into competitive soul winners, has turned churches into counting houses where they count numbers, hang it on the wall in front of the church. And deceives the souls of tens of millions of people, tens of thousands of people every year in this country alone. That's awful. It's better to never have gone to church in your life than to have gone to church and been deceived. We need to take heed what we hear. We need to take heed what we support, what we sanction, what we approve of. Having made those sad, sad statements, which are very true, listen to me just a few minutes. And I may preach another message on this same subject tonight. But give me just a few minutes. The preacher of God, who comes from God, who sent from God, is called and sent upon a glorious mission. He's not in competition with anybody. But Paul describes it like this: we have a treasure in this old earthen vessel. We have a treasure to speak of, to broadcast, to proclaim the gospel. We have a treasure in an earthen vessel. A story of life from the dead. A story of Christ, who He is, where He came from, what He became, what He accomplished, where He is now, what He has done, what He is doing for sinners. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man has a precious treasure, Paul said. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The treasure of the gospel. The most precious treasure in all the world. Never been a story like it. Never a story like it fell on human ear. What a treasure it is. How rare, how precious. It's the only gospel there is. This treasure in earthen vessels. And Paul said that that preacher who's sent from God, he has the gospel committed to his trust. He'd been entrusted with the gospel, to preach the gospel, faithfully proclaim the gospel, earnestly contend for the faith, the gospel. He is a steward of the gospel. And it's a preacher that's sent from God, called of God, ordained of God. He embraces that gospel that he preaches. He loves that gospel that he preaches. And he lives on that gospel that he preaches. That's what I live on. Clarice, I live on the gospel. My life. That's my water, my bread, my sustenance. The gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm complete in Him. And I'm complete in Him. He not only embraces it, loves it, and lives upon it, but He publishes it. The gospel of the glorious redemption of Jesus Christ. Substitutionary redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for us. He did it for us. Substitution. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Atonement, full atonement by substitution. Him for us. He died for us. He lived for us. A righteousness we preach that comes to us from Christ through faith in His name. The gospel declares righteousness. How can a man be just with God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Through faith in His name. The gospel has to do with Christ. Everything's in Christ. Everything's about Christ. And it's all free grace. Sovereign free grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't persuade God to give it to you. It's by the sovereign free will of God. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. He came into this world, the world He made, and the world didn't even know Him. Received Him not. Came to His own, the Jewish people, of whom He was prophesied to come. And they received Him not. They turned thumbs down on Him. They crucified Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. He gave them the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name which were born. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Born of God. About all we hear of in our day, in the contemporary churches, talk about the will of man, the will of man, the will of man. I was born in 1939, June the 27th, in the flesh, after the flesh. And I never had a thing to do with it. I was born again in 1959. I never had a thing to do with it. God came by. God visited my house. God dealt with my heart. God brought me to repentance. Nobody ever called himself to repent. It's painful. It's hurtful. I remember going to church and you'd be under some sort of conviction and you'd try to get rid of it as quick as you could. Shake it off as you go out the door. And God kept coming back. Kept coming back. Kept coming back. Sinner, sinner, sinner. Adam, where art thou? That's what he said to me. Then one day, I was reading the scriptures. And this is what I read. He bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And I said, that's it. That's it. Thank God, that's it. I can have peace in that. And the first time in years, I had a little peace with God. The gospel is a work of God. All through faith in his name. And even that faith is God's gift to us. We weren't born with it. We can't work it up. God has to create it in us through the preaching of his precious word. That precious message. That precious gospel. That treasure we have in these earthen vessels to speak out and tell forth. Exalting Christ to the glory of God is the calling of a preacher and his mission and his life. Exalting Christ. Talking about Christ. I asked a young man recently, a dear, he's in the family, dear fellow. I said, "Does your preacher, what does he preach most about? What God's done for us or what we need to do for God?" He said, "Why, what we need to do for God." Isn't that sad? That's sad. The Bible talks about those things. But it's all written in his blood. It comes out of the fact of what he's done for us, who he is. And Paul said, to bring it down to the bottom line, he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Tell me what he's done for me. Titus chapter 3. Paul talked to those saints, talked to young Titus, and he said, you remind those people who they are, where they came from, what they were. And you tell them what God done for them. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us and washed us. And those who really believe, they'll be careful to maintain good works. That's the way you preach good works, in the very context of the person and the work of Christ. The work of Christ. You want to teach people to love each other? Christ said, as I've loved you, love each other. You want to teach people to wash each other's feet? He said, as I've done to you. Christ. Christ crucified is the preacher's message. And that's evangelism. Christ crucified, Christ proclaimed. That's both the message and the means of salvation. Now today we have a message, and it's not the message of God. And then they have a means of making that message effectual. And it's all of man, from first to last, dishonoring to God. Saying God can't save people, we got to help him. God does save people. He doesn't need our help. We preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. Christ crucified and proclaimed is both the message and the means of salvation. We don't use gospel tricks. We don't have a three plan of salvation, five step plan of salvation, or the Roman road plan of salvation. Repeat the sinner's prayer. We don't have those things because they're not in the book. Not in the book. We have a gospel about a person that we proclaim. And that's the message. That's the gospel. And that's God's means of saving. The gospel, Romans 1:16, is the dunamis of God. That's the word from which we get our word dynamite. The gospel. And nothing else but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Power of God unto salvation. The message declared is the means employed. That's what God uses to save. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel. If a man knows the message, he knows the method or means of salvation, what God used to save sinners. That is the message. Sinners are saved as they hear people talking about Christ. That's how it is. Not when they have soft music and someone say, now everybody bow their head and close your eyes and soft music's playing and now, if you feel like you need to be prayed for, you have a spiritual problem, you need to be saved, silently slip up your hand. Now, nobody's watching. Nobody will see you. And then when that's done and he says, all right, you can open your eyes. And I know who you are that raised up your hands, and you know you raised up your hands, and we know you need help. Come on down now. They start playing Just As I Am. And they might play it for a half hour, and they might play it for an hour. That's not of God. Listen to me, young folks. That is not of God. And if it's not of God, it must have come from his enemy as a counterfeit. And indeed it did. It's of man. It's of Satan. It's Antichrist. Contrary to the glory of God. Which says, I can plant and Apollos can water, but only God can give the increase. God gives the increase. That's the only way it can come. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2 just a moment. The same thing is in chapter 1, but I'll just skip some of these verses I have written down and go to chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, brethren, he's writing to these Corinthians. They know he's telling the truth. When I came to you, I didn't come in excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It's not our words or our descriptions of God's words that save folks. It's God's word, God's gospel, God's truth. The truth shall make you free. Not what I to say about it. For I determine. You determine something, you think about it. And you reach the determination. And this is what I determined. Not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I preach to you. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Not much of that in our day either. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What do we need in our day? The power of God. The power of God. We can't conjure up a revival. God must rain it down upon us. Paul was fearful about this matter of preaching the gospel. It wasn't a game to him. It wasn't a competitive thing to him. Serious business of proclaiming that great gospel of the glory of the blessed God. He was fearful of saying anything amiss. And so am I. He was fearful of anyone looking to him for help. He was fearfully of wrongfully encouraging some or discouraging others. Just leave them before the Lord. He was fearful for their souls. And he was jealous for the truth and the glory of his great God. Do you know what he said? I can't quote it exactly, but he said something like this. He was on the way back to Jerusalem, and he called the Ephesian elders to him, and they knew that they'd see his face no more. And he knew that they'd see his face no more. All he knew that lay ahead of him was beatings and imprisonments and chains and all these things. But he said, these things don't move me. The threats of men don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he cared about, preaching the gospel of the grace of God, finishing his course with joy, faithfully. And at the end of his life, he did. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Fought a good fight. Those who know the message of salvation, the real message of salvation, they know the means of salvation. It's not in these invitations. There's nothing like that in the Scriptures. You know what their excuse is? There's so many distractions in the world today, we've got to use anything in our power to get them in and keep them in. That's what I've been told by people who represent other churches here in town. I pray that I may just be faithful to preach the gospel, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus our Lord, and let God do the work. I'm not going to hire people. I'm not going to bribe people. I'm not going to trick people. I'm not going to play games to get people to come listen to the message of the Son of God. How belittling that is to the Son. Suppose I had a daughter, and I do. And I was paying boys to come see her. You come take her out to eat tonight, I'll give you $20. Boy, that sure pays her honor, doesn't it? That's where they get me into Christ. And it's not right. It's an abomination to God. Abomination to God. When a man does not have the message, does not know the message, then he invents his own way. Trims down the message, trying to make it more pleasing to natural man, and invents ways to get natural men in and keep them in. Paul was a true evangelist. He proclaimed the gospel. And that preacher who is called and sent of God, he knows that the salvation of sinners left up to him. And when I say left up to him, I mean all these gospel tricks and gimmicks and memes and skits and clowns and imitations. The preacher who's called of God, sent of God, knows that the salvation of sinners left unto him, left up to him, left up to the church, left up to anybody but God, is impossible. You remember when the disciples said one time, I think you offended those folks, Lord. He said, just leave them alone. They said, Lord, after a statement he made to them, they said, Lord, who then can be saved? He said, with men, nobody. Left up to men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You know, I won't turn here and read this to you just a moment. For this is really, truly, actually, the way it is. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read through this rather quickly to conserve time. But please let these words soak in. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel 37:1, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. You got the picture? A valley full of bones. And he called me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. They'd been dead a long time. Dead! And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, you know that. I don't know. That's up to you. Entirely up to you. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, saying to them, O ye dry bones, dead dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. You shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but no breath yet, no life yet. That tells me, if I interpret this right, that preaching the word can cause a lot of religious movement, a big religious stir. But unless God breathes upon these bones, it's all in vain. Still nothing there but death! Death. Religion and death. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, the Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. These slain, these dead, breathe upon them that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The church militant here on the face of the earth have been breathed upon by the Lord. Salvation is God Almighty in His sovereign free grace, putting His almighty saving hand on a sinner. And when He does that, He won't take it off until He's made exactly like His Son in eternal glory. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of me. Now you go out to these valley of dry bones, and there they are, very many and very dry, dead. Dead! And play soft music and play the organ and just as I am and do whatever tricks you have up your sleeve. And it won't help those bones a bit. You might cause a lot of movement. It won't help those bones, Betty. They're still dead. Still dead. The preacher who is sent from God knows that he's preaching to spiritual corpses. And he, by God's word and experience, knows that the dryness of these dead bones, he will not alter that message of salvation. He will not employ man's means and methods of salvation, because it's not salvation, it's deception. That message of this book, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the message of God concerning His Son, is the only means of salvation. Only power of God unto salvation. Not my tricks. Not any man's tricks. This preacher who's sent from God, he'll try to faithfully preach the word of God and pray that God make it fruitful. Because he can. He can plant and he can water. But only God can give the increase. Only God. He can water and water and wait. But only God can give the increase. In His own time. For His own glory. Only God can give what men need. And that's life. Only God can give life. And that's what we need. Can these dead bones live? Maybe. I tell you, if God wants them to, they can. God says, preach to them, pray for them. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Pray for the sovereign wind to blow. Somebody might be here this morning. I hope you are. You say, what can I do personally? That's a good question. Salvation of the Lord, you can't save yourself. I can't save you. Your mama can't save you. Only God can save you. What could you do? What can I do? I want to be saved. What can I do? First thing is to acknowledge that you don't have salvation. You don't have life. You're dead. You don't have life. And the second thing to acknowledge and confess up to even to yourself, you can't give yourself life. The preacher can't do it. You need life and only God can give it. That's good. Third thing you can do is be where the wind blows. You know where the wind blows? Where the gospel's preached. That's where the Spirit of God moves. He takes that gospel. He takes the things of Christ. And this word is used three times, and I love it. It can be translated other ways, but I like the way it's translated. Take the things of Christ. This is the office of the Holy Spirit. Take the things of Christ. Show them unto you. Be where the wind blows. Be where the word is preached. Be where the gospel is preached. When life comes, recognize it. Thank God for it. Seek baptism. And when life comes, you'll love Christ. When life comes, you'll trust Him. You cast yourself upon Him. You say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That's my hope. That's my confidence. That's it. He that believeth the Son hath life. Do you have life? You want life. Christ told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but live, have life. Back there in the wilderness, thousands of people sitting around, bitten by snakes, and some bitten and dying, some already dead. God told Moses, make a brazen serpent. Make a serpent in the likeness of that one that's bit the people. Make it out of brass to indicate judgment upon that serpent. Go out there in the middle of those people and hold up that serpent. And I can hear him now. Look! And live. And those who looked in the obedience of faith, they bitten by the serpent, but they never died. They never died. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way we look to Christ. I'm a dying sinner. I deserve nothing but death. And yet, I'm looking to Christ. Looking unto Christ. Trusting Him. All my hope. All my salvation. May God enable you to do the same. And each of us to do it more and more. Okay, David.